Amen. Let's all stand and read in Psalms chapter number 1. What a wonderful blessing it's been tonight. Amen. Amen. Psalm chapter number 1. When you find your place, if you would stand with me, we're going to read just 6 verses and look at some of these wonderful truths. My heart has been blessed tonight. It's such a joy to hear the Word of God in song and lift it up in praise. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Verse 6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Brother Tom, if you could open us in a word of prayer tonight.
Search our hearts, see if there be any wicked way in us. Use the man of God, thank you that he's back on his feet. Use our preacher, help the burn for you tonight. Help to lift you up and lift your wonderful name up tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated this evening. Psalm chapter number 1 is perhaps one of the greatest psalms that you can understand and apply to your life, and it talks about how to live the blessed life. Who wants to live the blessed life, to live a life filled with the blessings of God? And we want that. And so the word blessed there is the Hebrew word. It's a plural noun from the root meaning straight or right. It literally means blessing to the man who. And here 5 truths are laid out in chapter number 1 that I want to look at tonight. And so the first thing the Bible tells us is, blessed is the man that, number 1, stays away from wrong influences. How many wrong influences do you need to have in your life to get off the right path? It takes a lot, does it? It just takes one. We can just have a small amount of infection in our life to get us disrupted, some sin in our life and some evil influence in our life. Who has ever thought that you could live with victory but still live with compromise? You know, I can get all these areas right with God in my life, but, you know, this other area will be okay. And so we can sometimes take that in a compromising way. And how did that work for you? How did that go? My dad used to say growing up, he says, "Birds of a feather flock together, and who you hang out with, you will become. Show me your crowd, and I'll show you your future," has been said. And that's so true in our life. The starting point for the blessed man is a decision of separation. It's a decision we talked about this morning in our life group series that our church is going through and focusing on holiness, and that is the first understanding that we must have and to live the life God's called us to is a life of holiness, willfully choosing to not associate with certain things in certain places and certain people. There must be a separation. The Bible says, "Come out from among them." I don't believe that we live in isolation, but I do believe that there needs to be something different about Christians than the lost world. Amen. We talked about the church in Babylon. The church should look different than Babylon. There should be a difference, and Daniel stood up and made that example for us. Look at the progression in verse number 1. I think it's notable. He said, "Blessed is the man that first of all walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And who are the ungodly? Well, they are those who live a life apart from God. They are the ones who live in control of their own life, not the godly life, rather the life that they choose to live. Notice those who walk with you and those who you walk with, you will be counseled by. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And this counsel is not a formal counsel. This is an informal counsel. In other words, again, who you associate with, you will be counseled by. Their influences will be a part of your life through their words and actions. So if you want a blessed life, do not walk with those who do not have God a part of their lives. People say, "Well, I have a lot of unsaved friends." I don't. Doesn't make me better than people. I'm just telling you, I had a lot of lost friends when I was lost. When I got saved, when I shared the gospel with them, either they got saved or they just didn't want to hang out with me anymore. I don't know why. They didn't like the things that I focused on and wanted to do. I have a lot of lost acquaintances. I have a lot of people that I hang out with that are associate with that are lost acquaintances, but my friends are believers. Because I've found in my life, I can only get so close to people that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can two walk if they're not agreed? And the one I love the most, that they innately, in their own depravity, despise Him. It's hard for me to walk with somebody whose life is filled with idolatry, who has perhaps himself or some sin in their life as the Lord of their life. And again, we're no better than anybody else, but I'm telling you, when you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you live that out, the world will not walk hand in hand with you. There are few on the narrow path. That is the truth. And so you walk not in the counsel of the godly. Secondly, you don't stand in the way of sinners. Here you see walking turning into what? Standing. And when you walk with them, you will soon stand with them. And notice the Bible calls them sinners. The ungodly are those who are now sinning. They live without God in control of their life. They're now violating God's word by sinning. And sin is disobedience to God. It's going away from the right path. Then we see a third progression here. It says in verse number one, at the third part of that verse, it says, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Walking turned into standing, and standing turned into what? Sitting. Anybody ever sit with somebody who is a scornful person? And who is a scornful person? What does this mean? Well, it's those who mock and ridicule the things of God, the godly and right things. Ever been around somebody who begins to mock and ridicule the things that you believe in? Just kind of burns your soul and kind of wears you down. You have a burden for them to see them saved, but it just chafes your heart to hear Christ blasphemed, to take His name in a way that mocks Him and His word lightly. Wrong crowds will end up scorning the truth. When I was lost, I scorned the truth. You wouldn't want to be my friend when I was lost. I didn't walk hand in hand with believers. When you're lost, you live like you're lost. Your mindset is not the things of holiness and righteousness. God's word over and over tells us to avoid wrong influences. Proverbs 1:8, the wisdom of a father tells his child, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of a father and forsake not the law of thy mother." And the first thing he tells them is in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Don't listen to them. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." God's word calls out both in Psalms 1 and Proverbs 1 an initial statement saying, do not allow your life to go hand in hand with lost people. Do not live down the path they're going in. There has to be some level of separation. I remember a young girl that was in our youth ministry who, her mom got saved out of drug addiction and just a life of debauchery, and the girl would sing in our church and just had such a heart for the Lord and excitement for God. And then her mom said, "I want to go minister to the people that I came out of." She didn't seek counsel from anybody in the church like, "Hey, would this be a good idea?" She just had a burden, and so she ran with it. And if you've never heard of these things, it's probably good you haven't, but they have what they call the rodeo that comes to Chillicothe, Ohio. When I lived there for about 6 years and we had a church plant, the rodeo in Chillicothe is literally Sodom and Gomorrah arriving in your city with 15,000 people. It is vileness that I can't even begin to speak of. Unbelievable wickedness. And so she went to that place to reach people with the gospel. And instead of reaching them, they'd reached her. And the last time I remember seeing this young girl, I was at a football game praying with one of the high school teams in Chillicothe that we were ministering to. And I said, "How's your mom?" She said she's in an urn on the counter of our table. She got hooked back on drugs and she died shortly later. We have to be very careful where, if you get saved out of some heavy stuff, you need to be very careful to throw your life back in there, because I tell you what, sometimes good intentions can end up with some bad outcomes. Make sure that you progress in ways that are wise. I've gone in the trenches. I've gone in some of the worst situations. I've gone up to drug houses and in different things. But there's a difference. If you've just freshly come out of some of those things, you need to be careful of the associations you have. It doesn't take much. We've had a lot in the drug community who've gotten saved through our church. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupteth good manners." And so how vital it is in our life to remove wrong influences. And so make sure that you have those things. And again, you don't go up to people and say, I can't ever hang out with you. What you're saying is, this is the direction I'm going. Love to have you join me. And most of the time, either they're going to get saved or they're going to get away from you. Secondly, the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. It says in verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is a strong contrast. What the person takes pleasure and finds joy in is not among sinful people doing sinful things, but it's in the law of the Lord. How has your growth in God's Word affected your desire personally to be around wrong influences? And how do you know if you delight in the law of the Lord? Well, it gives us the prescription here. It says, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The word meditate means to focus your thoughts on, to ponder over. This speaks of having a diligent reading of the Word of God, then seriously considering what it means, thinking deeply upon the Scriptures, studying God's Word, and then seeking out its meaning. The Word of God literally becomes your new companion, who is the one who now counsels you. Instead of being counseled by the ungodly, you're now counseled by the Word of God. Let me ask a question. Do you meditate in God's Word in a way that would honor it? Do you meditate upon it day and night? Do you focus your thoughts on it, ponder it? Do you read it diligently, seeking its meaning, learning how and what it means and how you can apply it? The blessed life meditates on the Word of God. We think about Joshua when he went into the Promised Land. God told him in Joshua chapter number 1, but this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. He says, why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalms 119, verse 97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I love what Paul said to the Colossian church in Colossians 3:16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. People who are counseled by God's Word will be those who live the blessed life. If you want the blessed life on this earth, if you want to live in the blessings of God, you have to allow the Word of God to counsel you. And when you are counseled by the Word of God, you will be able to counsel other people. It will splash off of you. Your cup will run over upon them. Blessed is the man who walks in the Word, and blessed are those who have friends like that. Proverbs 30, verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So the blessed man, first of all, avoids the wicked. Secondly, he delights in the Word of God. And thirdly, the blessed man enjoys a consistent life of fruitfulness. Look at what verse 3 says. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When you're driving and you see one of those fields as you're heading out, maybe around Clinton County or over in that direction, and you see some open fields, sometimes you'll see a line of trees in that field coming down. And wherever you see a line of trees, you know that there must be a creek running through that area. Because water produces life. Water is the source in abundance of bringing forth so much life. The water produced an abundance of life. At least two times Jesus used water as a symbol of life-giving salvation. John chapter 4, he told the woman at the well, he said, I have water to give you to drink that you know not of. And that lady ended up coming to faith in Christ. Also in John chapter 7, Jesus used it only two times, but he used it in reference to salvation. It was during the Feast of the Tabernacle, which was the most joyous occasion among the Jewish people. This was a week-long feast, and during this feast, they would have a procession of the priests that would go down to the Pool of Siloam, and they would come up to the temple carrying that water, being a symbol of how God miraculously provided water in the desert. And it was to also look forward to the day of the Messianic age when God's blessing would come upon them. And it was in the backdrop of that great ceremony on the last day of the feast, when this progression was going on, that the Lord Jesus Christ stood up in John 7. Verse 37, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. As these priests are going in their water, splashing out of their vessels, and they're coming up, he says, if anybody's really thirsty, and you really want to drink, then you come unto me, and I'll give you water that you'll never be thirsty again. The Messiah is here. And he disrupted the whole progression of that. Three key words stand out in verse 37. First is the word thirsty. He says, if any man thirst, you have to first recognize your spiritual bankruptcy, your need, your thirst. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, have you understood the level of thirst that you have? The only one that can quench that, he says, the second word is come. You must recognize your thirst. Secondly, you must come to Him, the only source of living water. And thirdly, he says, drink. This is appropriating your faith. This is receiving salvation. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. And dear lady this morning came and drank of that water, and she left with new life. Amen. And another man and another gentleman did the same. What a wonderful blessing. He says also in verse number 3, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We have a peach tree on property where my wife loves peaches, and she's always excited when the season comes that those peaches will come out, hoping that they give enough fruit that she can enjoy that. Many Christians want to have a fruitful life, but you know what? Fruit comes in its season. Its fruit shall come in its season. The Bible tells us there is a law of sowing and reaping. In Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, because sometimes we can be weary in well-doing. Some of us have felt that. You've prayed for the person to be saved. You've ministered to your spouse or your children, and you've grown weary. The Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep going. The harvest comes, but it comes after there is a season of the sun coming down and the rain coming down and the seed germinating and bringing forth the fruit of that crop. John chapter 15, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And Jesus tells us how to bear fruit in John 15:5. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot do anything of itself. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And the word abide there is used 9 times in John 15, and it's the idea of remaining, staying put, do not leave. His leaf shall not wither, and he says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What's interesting about the peach tree is every year the leaves fall off, and that thing goes dormant for a long time. But the Bible says here that if you're plugged into the Word of God and His Word is filling your life, there is no dormant season for you. That you become fruitful and you will live a fruitful life. Your leaf will not wither. Whatever you do shall prosper. Number 4, the blessed man also doesn't waste his life. Look at what verse 4 says. The ungodly are not so. This is again a strong contrast. Literally, not so the wicked. Not so for them. But they are like chaff. And what is chaff? A frequent Old Testament word from harvest time for that which was unsubstantial, that which had no value. It was worthy to be discarded. It was the refuse that the wind blew away. Some say, well, I know there's a reason for that time in my life. I've had people say that all throughout these years of ministry, that maybe that person had lived a life of great sin in their life. And they say, you know, that I know there was a reason that I went through that portion of life. Listen to me very closely. The life given to God can be a life where God can take the wasted portions of our life and redeem them and use them to be a great testimony and a great way to reach other people. That is true. He can take our brokenness and turn it into a blessing. But listen to me very closely. On the other hand, the life lived without Christ is a wasted life. It is chaff. People can live and just waste time. They live wasted days and weeks and years. They have no fruit from it, nothing lasting. Rather, it's producing just chaff. The only good thing that we can get from a wasted life is to learn from it and learn not to repeat it, to not go back down those roads. So the blessed man doesn't live a wasted life. You know, I don't like to waste time. I don't like to waste energy. I like to be productive. I like to look back and say, man, I'm so thankful I did that with my life. I'm so thankful I spent last year doing that, or I'm so thankful. Listen, you will never in your life say, I wish I didn't spend as much time reading the Bible. I wish I didn't spend as much time investing in my family and their spiritual growth. I wish I never got involved in that discipleship group. I wish I didn't go to that foundations class. I wish I didn't finish that. You will never say those things. You'll always say, boy, I wish I would have gave more to the Lord. I really wish I would have invested more in my family spiritually. I really wish I spent more time with my spouse. And I really wish we would have focused more on the things of God. I wish I would have memorized more verses growing up. I wish I told more people about Jesus Christ. I really wish I learned to pray more. I really wish I began to fast some in my life. We'll say things like that in life. So if you want a blessed life, begin to focus on what the Bible says will allow that blessed life to come. And let me give you the sixth point, and you are all, or fifth point, and I know you're all shocked by this. How do we ever get to this? I have to make a confession. I didn't even have notes with me when I got up here, and I realized I don't even have my notes with me. I don't know how this is going to roll. So I told my wife, I said, could you, darling, please run back there and grab some notes? And, you know, she at that point, she could have made a decision. This could be really short and sweet tonight. But if he doesn't have notes and he won't go by the script, it could be really long. It could be dangerous. Keep to the script. Keep to the Bible here. Fifthly, in verse 5 and 6, the blessed man is accepted of God. Verse number 5 says this, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows here, it says, he knows the way of the righteous. God knows everything. This is more than intellectual. This is a relational knowledge. God knows them personally. Their names are in His book of life. They are His sheep that He calls. They know His voice. They don't listen to the false shepherd. John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He says, but the ungodly are not so. God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The word perish there, this means total ruin, destruction. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not apolomai. It means total ruin, total destruction. Not like a cessation, but a separation, an eternal separation from God, that they would not perish but have everlasting life. The ungodly here, he says, are those who perish. They lose everything. Psalm 1 starts with the blessed life and it ends with the perishing. All through Scripture, you have two paths, the broad path and the narrow path. You have two eternities, heaven and hell, two options, two foundations, rocks and stones. You have two fathers, God or Satan. You have two outcomes, those who are blessed and those who perish. This is where God's Word leaves you. Many are deceived thinking they're okay, but they're not okay. God knows who are His. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Listen, works do not save us, but the evidence of those who are saved is there will be some works in your life. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit that comes inside of you who began a good work will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. And so in closing, the blessed man avoids the way of the wicked. He delights in the Word of God. He enjoys a consistently fruitful life. He doesn't waste his life, and he is accepted by God. What path are you on tonight? Are you on the blessed path? Don't you want to live the blessed life? Amen. Let's all stand this evening with heads bowed and eyes closed. The altar's open. Maybe you want to come tonight, pray for someone in your life. Maybe there's a burden on your heart you want to lift up. But if you're here tonight and you've not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never repented of your sins and turned your life over to Christ, tonight you can do what others have done this morning. You can come and call out to Christ for salvation. You can humble yourself. Does your life evidence the blessed life? Are you meditating upon His Word day and night? You say, you know what, I know that God's Word, I need to spend more time in it. Then tonight, why don't you come and say, you know what, Lord, I want to commit more of my time, my energy, my life to You. What the danger is, sometimes we can have the head knowledge, but not the heart obedience. Meditate upon the Word. Read it. Study it. Fill your heart up. When your life's filled up, you will become a great blessing to other people, because what is in your heart will become coming out of your mouth in all kinds of situations. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, I'll be down front. I'll meet you in the front. You can be saved tonight. Maybe you want somebody to pray for you. Whatever your need is, you can come. Father, we thank You for Your Word, for Your truth, and Your gospel. We pray Your blessing upon this invitation time. May the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted in our lives. Lord, we want to live a blessed life. We want to live a life that exalts you. We don't want to be like the chaff that's blown away. We're your children. We're your sheep. Draw us unto you. Conform us to the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.